Like, what in the world has happened for me to end up here? And let me just tell you, there's one of two reasons you are in the circumstances that you are in. This goes for each and every one of us, and myself included. There are reasons why I have to go to the Old Navy and get bigger clothes. Why? Because I have chosen to drink excess amounts of soda and eat poorly over an extended period of time. So I can't just, woe is me, why is my body doing it? No, I chose to do it. All right, so there is one of two reasons we find ourselves in the circumstance we're in. Wife comes to me, we're pregnant. How? Okay. Too far. She did not come to me this week. I'm just, no. Don't be thinking, don't be posting that on Facebook. But one of two reasons you're in the circumstance that you're in right now. One is because sometimes life is just unfortunate. I mean, you pull out and someone rear-ends your car. Did you choose to do that? Probably not, unless you have gap insurance on an old vehicle. You order something and you get sick from it. Did you choose to do that? Did you choose to get food poisoning? No. Did you choose to go to work on a Monday morning and it be your last day at the job because they were cutting back and your number happened to be called? No, you didn't choose that. There are some circumstances that are out of your control. Some things that you find yourself in today are out of your control. But let's also not diminish the truth, and the reality is that there are many circumstances you find yourself in right now that are simply a result of choices day after day. Marriage on the rocks. I chose to, and if you were to be honest, like if we were to look at our lives, look at your circumstances right now, you will find that your circumstances are because of the circumstances that you have chosen to put yourself into, or some of the circumstances are just unfortunate that life is life. Life is going to happen. And some things are just out of your control, and some things aren't always fair, and I get that. But there are also some things that we get to a point. And I hate to hear this about someone, but I was recently told, someone came up to me and they said, hey, would you pray with me? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. I said, what's going on? He said, I was just diagnosed with lung cancer. So that is incredibly horrible to go through. Or someone will say, I have liver failure. Horrible situation to go through. But just be careful that sometimes the choices over months and weeks and years at a time will end up in something. So the big point I want to take away from today, and I want to connect it to Elijah and Elisha as the two met, is that today's choices will be tomorrow's circumstance. Today's choices will be tomorrow's circumstance. Of course, I know that some things are just out of your control. So I want to go to 1 Kings chapter 19 today. And I want to start in verse 19. And I shared a similar, just a little bit different, I shared a similar message at youth camp this past summer, just I think like last month. And it was something that I had been studying and writing, and God had given me something different for youth, and just kind of kindling my heart to preach it. And here we are. And I want to just really think about the circumstance you find yourself in is really a choice sometimes of what you have decided upon. So let's start right there. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So let me just tell you who that is. That is Elijah, who had just ran from Jezebel and God spoke to as he hid in a cave in fear. And that that story, that picture, is where all of us have probably been at one point or another, where we've all been just paralyzed by fear. And because we are so afraid to carry out the duties or the responsibilities that we have, we would rather just kind of hide ourselves out rather than step into the responsibilities that we are supposed to do. So we've all been hidden, and, you know, it's like from the pits of the cave. And sounds familiar, but from the pits of the cave, Elijah found himself, God called him, God spoke to him, and then he led him on a new journey, a new path to find Elisha. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. Then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. So here in just these three verses of Scripture, we see so much. We see the call of Elisha. The call of Elisha. And that's the actual title in my Bible over this passage of Scripture. And it may be the same as yours. The call of Elisha. So let's just put ourselves right there in Elisha's field, as he was clearly very wealthy. It was very, very fortunate for someone to own one oxen or a yoke of oxen. The yoke was what went around their neck and attached them to the others. So we would be attached by the yoke, by the neck. And oxen are stubborn. He won't look at me. He is stubborn. But they were attached at the neck. That's why Jesus said, "My yoke is light. My yoke, what you carry, is light." It's not like the Pharisees and the legalistic part of Israel are doing. And Elijah had 12 yoke of oxen, 12 yokes of oxen. So he was clearly very wealthy. And Elijah comes by and he says, and he doesn't say anything. He just comes by and throws his cloak on him and then just walks away. So this whole scenario was kind of strange, to think this man's out plowing the field with all of these oxen, and all of a sudden a stranger just come over and throw a cape on him and walk away. That would be very strange if you're out there working, or if I'm out here one day working and some neighbor comes by and just throws a cloak on me, throws a little cape on, just walks away without saying a word. That's a little strange, especially reading it now, but the people in that day knew exactly what that meant. Elisha knew exactly what was going on in this very moment. To us, yeah, that would be strange if that happened today, but in that very moment, Elisha was fully aware of the calling that was on his life. That calling was to one day be the successor of Elijah. And here we go, and he says, "Let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you." So today I want to talk about two choices, because Elisha could have chosen to say, "Hey, take that back. I do not want that," and he could have remained very wealthy and could have probably taken over the family farm and probably expanded his own property, his own wealth, and done very good things for himself, for his family, and done all of these things. However, instead, he chose to pursue the calling of God instead. So two choices that Elijah made that we have to make if you want to truly pursue the calling that God has for you. And that calling may be just to be a present and invested father rather than a somewhat interested father. It may be to be an invested mother rather than just somewhat interested, where if I could just go to work and make all the money for my family, then I don't have to deal with being the father that I'm supposed to be or being the husband that I'm supposed to be. I'm providing, but I'm not very good at nurturing. And that calling for you today may be for you to step into a new level of fatherhood or of being a husband or a wife or a grandma or a grandpa or a coworker or a friend or a neighbor, a family member. And God may be calling one of you one day to preach sermons, whether it be behind this pulpit or another one. The reality is, I do not know what God is calling each and every one of you to do or what He is calling you to be. However, He knows, and it is our job, our duty to discern with godly wisdom and with time in His presence and walking with His Spirit to find out what it is exactly that He's calling us to do. So, we have to make the choice. We have to make the choice. Are we going to use our lives to pursue the calling? And you may be in it right now. You may literally be in the calling of God on your life. But some of us, we may be living a little hesitant to decide, like Elisha chose, to say, you know what, I'm going to do everything that has to be done to truly pursue the calling of God on my life. I'm going to do everything that I have to do to truly walk with Him and to be with Him and to step into the roles and the responsibilities that He has given to me, of whether that is this or whether that is that or whether I should be more of this or more of that. I am going to strive to pursue the calling of the calling of God, just as Elisha did. The first choice that Elisha made as he chose to pursue the call of God was that he chose God's calling over comfortability. Comfortability. 12 yokes of oxen. It's a lot of work, but man, it's pretty comfortable living. I mean, it's pretty comfortable to stay on the family ranch and plow the fields and take care of the fields and take care of the animals and ensure the equipment's ready for the next day. It's pretty comfortable to do the things that your family always grew up doing and stepping into that one day knowing, okay, mom and dad's going to hand it over to me once I reach this age and once I do this or once I do that. It's pretty comfortable. It's pretty comfortable for him to say, no, I've got a good thing going here. And it's pretty comfortable for us sometimes to get into life the way we want it or the way we currently live it. And we can just grow so comfortable that I don't really want to pursue God's calling. God may be calling you to sacrifice a little bit of free time and me time to be a little more servant-like and to serve people or to help young kids or to reach the homeless or to feed the needy. And I don't know what it is that He's calling you to do, but just know that it is out of your comfort zone. The calling of God is out of your comfort zone. If you are constantly like, man, this is easy. This walk with the Lord is so easy and comfortable, and He is doing everything I like for Him, for myself to do, and I like these style of things, and I like the way we do this, then we may be doing our own job. We may be doing our own calling, our own preferences. We have to discern. We have to pursue. And the way that we pursue is just like Elisha did. He said, this is a comfortable living. This is a comfortable lifestyle. I know exactly what I'm going to do every day. It's pretty easy. But he had to leave and he had to go, just like you and I have to sometimes go. Sometimes that going is literally putting the phone down for hours each and every evening to truly feel yourself entering the presence of God. And you may not feel it, like you may not get the goosebump feeling, okay? I'm not saying you're not in God's presence, but literally saying, I'm going to lay myself down at His feet. I'm going to spend hours praying and fasting and seeking the Lord in my life. I want to know what He is calling me to be. I want to know what dreams or desires He is going to give to my heart. I want to know where He is calling me to go. And it may be right where you are. Or there may be missionaries, whether that's domestic or international. There may be sermons that have never been preached because the calling has never been pursued. So what is the calling that God has for you? What is He calling you to do? And some of us may say, I have no idea. Let's just be honest. Who here would be honest enough to say, I really don't know what God's going to call me to do? I got my hand up. I don't know. I like where we're at. I love it. And I would hate for God to say, right when I get comfortable, no, you got too comfortable, we're going elsewhere. That would be horrible, right? However, if I want to truly pursue God's calling, that's what I would have to do. And I don't know whether that's going to be 5 years, 55 years. Eventually, I won't be standing up here. I won't. Eventually, I'll be too old and probably die at one point of life. I will. Just put it out. I will. So your kids' kids one day and the grandkids of some of you young folks, they may come to this church, but it won't be me up here. It won't. Because God is going to call me elsewhere or call me to retirement on the beach in North Carolina one of these days. Okay, I'm going against this. But one of these days, He's going to call me elsewhere, or eventually I will stop doing this and have to move on with life, whether that's stopping or resting high, flying one of these mornings. I will fly away. So just understand that what God is calling you to do may not always be comfortable. Elisha could have remained right where he was at and said, man, this is easy. I got breakfast made by mom every morning. And when I come home, sweet tea is made, lemonade's made. Everything's really, really nice. Just like you might be saying, I can budget monthly or even quarterly because my paycheck is always the same. Oh, I can do these things because I know that every other Friday I get off at this time, or every other Saturday, or every Saturday I'm off, and it may be comfortable. And I'm just telling you that if you want to choose comfortability, don't wonder one day why you're not feeling like you're walking with the Lord, because you have chosen to remain comfortable rather than pursue the calling that He has for you. Some of you He has a calling for, I don't know, you have never even seen it. But it will be much bigger than anything I have ever done or will ever do. You will have a much larger impact than I could ever dream of if you would pursue the calling that He has and step out of your comfort zone. I tell you all the time, speaking was horrible for me. It's still not good, but it was horrible. I would sweat and I would pace and I was just horrible. And God's sense of humor said, hey, here you go. You're going to do it for a while now. So it's got to be out of our comfort zone. We must choose God's calling over comfortability. And the other thing that He chose God's calling over was confidence. Confidence. And here's why I say that. He was very confident in what He did, and He knew that over time He would grow even more confident in what He was doing. And maybe His confidence would enlarge His territory. Maybe His confidence would expand His wealth to where He would be richer. He would own more land than mom and dad did because He was confident in what He did and He was comfortable in it. And he had been taught well, and He had been kind of groomed by mom and dad on how to do these things. But the moment that the cloak was put on His back, He had to choose. I have to choose right now to throw this thing on the ground and burn it, or to go. So He said, hey, let me go kiss mom and dad first. Let me go tell them goodbye. And the text here implies that He was literally leaving for possibly forever. Because in that day, to go home and to kiss mom and dad, it was like, hey, this may be our formal going away party. That way we will never have a reunion with. Because to kiss mom and dad goodbye was literally saying, I don't know where I'm going or how it's going to look, but I'm gone. And I may return or I may not return. So what did Elisha do? He said, you know what? I have to destroy every bit of my former life in order to pursue the calling that God has. So what did he do? He said, let me go kiss mom and dad goodbye. So as he was at home having this going away party, they prepared all of the oxen. They had a big barbecue and a going away party so that he could be sent off in pursuit of God's calling. It says that he killed all the oxen, and he boiled their flesh with the yolks of the oxen, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. He had no idea where he was going. And here's the other thing. Sometimes God's calling is a process. That it says here, Elisha, who goes on to do an incredible work for the Lord and does many miracles and does wonders. When you continue reading on in the Bible, the next few chapters, he is someone that I would strive to be like. I would love to be like Elisha. I would love to. But he was the assistant to Elijah. So just understand this before you think, okay, I'm going to leave here and today is going to be my kissing away party and I'm going to kill all of the things that have been holding me back to pursue God's calling. Just understand that when you decide to pursue God's calling, it may not always be on a platform. You may not always have a microphone. You may be the one that is behind the scenes doing things that people may not see for weeks or months at a time. However, you're still being used and you're still being called. So just understand, he started as the assistant to Elijah. He was the coffee runner, the copy maker. He was everything that we would see an assistant or a receptionist do for a boss or someone. He was the one taking the notes and picking up the kids and running them to school and picking them up here and taking them there. He assisted him. So just because you say, okay, God, I'm going to leave here today. I'm going to go home tonight. I'm no longer going to live like this. I feel like you have called me to put this down and to pick that up and to say no to those people and say yes to them. I believe you are calling me to be this. I believe that you are calling me. And please, please, please do not call me tomorrow and say, I know exactly what God's called me to do. Even though you may. I don't want you to think in your head right now, man, I could be this and I could do that. And call me to tomorrow and say, I'm going to be an author. I'm moving to Nashville. I'm hitting the road, Jack. Never coming back. I want you to discern and pursue the calling. Though you may know what it is, and though you may be in it right now, I want you to know that God is always calling you to something deeper. He is always desiring from you a deeper, intimate relationship with him, greater responsibility in the roles that you are right now. Your influence may be small right now. One day it's going to be large. Your influence may be large right now. One day it may be shrunk because he's got something else for you and to do with you. So just don't leave here and say, okay, tomorrow I'm gone, tomorrow I'm this. I want you to leave this place today truly contemplating, am I seeking the calling of God all my life, or am I living in what's comfortable and what I'm confident in doing? Because I'll be honest with you, every single Sunday when I wake up, I don't eat breakfast. It's not that I could use a few meals to take off, but that's not why. I just can't eat breakfast because it's not even so much you all anymore. Like at first, I would pray that communion would just last forever so I wouldn't have to get up here. I would pray, Lord, let's just come right now. Just come on right now, Jesus. I would pray that. I was so fearful. However, with anything, the more consistent you do it, the more confident you become. Consistency builds confidence. But it's not even so much you anymore. I have to remind myself every single Sunday, God, as I pray, God, just give me the words to speak because I don't want to open my mouth and just word vomit all over everybody in this church. God, keep me confined to what you have given me because the moment I get off my notes, watch out. Seriously. And I have to pray because it's not so much you all anymore. At first it was, but now it's this. Paul said, pray that I would speak it clearly. I have to pray so hard and so long all Sunday morning that I would just speak this clearly and accurately, not taking anything from it or adding anything to it. I don't want to false teach anyone or lead anyone astray. So I have to get down on my knees every single Sunday and just pray, one, to calm my nerves, and then two, to give me accuracy, boldness, and clarity in everything that I say. Because the moment that I start growing in confidence that, man, I'm doing this all right, is the very moment that I will be straying away from the calling that God has for me. So the moment that you say, man, I don't know if I can do this, God is saying, thank you. Now come to me. And the calling on your life may be to do something that is out of your comfort zone and you have no confidence in doing, but the more that you do it, the more confident you will become. So now speaking in front of people isn't as bad. I've gained a little bit of confidence in that. But for some of you, maybe you didn't have a father figure, so being a father or a mother or a son or a brother or a sister, it's something that you didn't have, and you don't really have confidence in doing it because you never saw how it was done. But God's calling you to do it. He's calling you to do it. And you're saying, God, I don't know how to do it. And he's saying, just follow me. Do exactly how Elisha did it. Remove any distraction that would keep you bound to your old way of living. Arise and come. And the more that you do the father job or the mother job or the brother or the sister or the coworker or the friend or the family member, the more confidently you do it, or the more consistently you do it, the more confidently you do it. But please, please, please never, ever, ever think that what God has called you to do is ever for you or from you. Because it's very, very dangerous when if I were to get up here and say, hey, I did all right this week studying. I've grown very confident in my study prep. Why? Because I've done it. Because I know which resources to use. I know what people to listen to and what people not to listen to. But the moment I get up here and say, I've got a word for you, and grow in confidence, I'm straying away from God's calling. So the moment that you say, man, I am the real deal at this, or I am the real deal at that, we will actually give ourselves the glory that God is deserving of. So God is calling you today to something. Maybe it's just to be a student and to be diligent in our study. Maybe it's to take steps of faith today that you've never taken, dreams that he has given your heart that you have been contemplating but never had the faith to move. Maybe he's calling you into a role or a responsibility that you have always thought was too big for you, or maybe too below your name or your status. What is it that he's calling you to? And if you were to answer, I don't know, then today, right now, is the opportunity for you to begin the process of understanding and pursuing God's call. Because it's not always like this. It's not always like this where Elijah just comes up, puts it on, and walks away, and immediately Elisha knew. It's not always like that for us. Some of us, it will take weeks, months, years praying and fasting and constantly pursuing the calling of life or the calling of God on our life. And it may take a long time for it to ever come up and be about. But it starts today. God, what is it that you are calling us to? And the question is, are we going to be able to move from what is comfortable and what we are confident in to pursue the calling that God has for us? Let's pray.